This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find our podcast on iTunes. Without animal sex, there would be no animals, right? We all know that. And it seems like it would be in nature's best interest to make it pretty easy for animals to procreate. But that is not the case. It's often really, really complicated. Joining us now is Karen Bonder. She is a biologist, a TV host, and an author. She has a new book called Wild Sex: The Science Behind Mating in the Animal Kingdom. Karen, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I was thinking about some of my own basic assumptions about animal sex before I started to look into your book. I guess I've always been thinking that animals have sex only to procreate. True or false?
It's false. However, there isn't a lot of pleasure, as we humans like to think. So I think the most misleading thing is that sex is fun and pleasurable. It is sometimes, but very rarely.
And my other assumption was that animals have sex like once a year, seasonally at least.
So some animals do. It really varies by species. You have some animals that have one annual breeding season. You have other animals like dolphins that are having sex several times an hour, 24 hours a day.
What? Why?
They're what's known as hypersexual, and they use sex for various modes of communication in addition to reproduction. So I guess to your first question, reproduction is definitely one of them, but there's a lot of other reasons that animals do have sex outside of just purely for procreation.
So what are some of the other reasons for sex?
A lot of times there will be sex for some kind of social bonding. This is especially where we see a lot of homosexual sex. It's to kind of ease tension between males in a pod or in a tribe. You can also see sex as a means of establishing a dominance hierarchy. So you can't have sex, but I can. And therefore, here you can watch me doing it, but you're not allowed to. And it sort of reestablishes who's in charge of whom.
How are the mates picked? And who chooses, generally speaking? We always think kind of the male is the one to choose.
Isn't that interesting? Well, in fact, in the animal kingdom, it's the opposite way around. And this has to do with the fact that sperm is abundant and cheap. In a male human, for example, there are about 70 million sperm per ejaculation. Whereas a female, we ovulate once per month. And if we happen to get fertilized, we are out of reproductive commission for a further 9 months. This makes who we have sex with a very big decision for a female. And this is true for females all over the animal kingdom. Eggs are expensive, so females are choosy. And this is why we see males that are often very adorned. Think peacock, whether it's feathers or antlers or some kind of a dance move or a song, males are often the ones trying to win the affections of females.
Do we know, are there animals that are monogamous, that stay together and maybe mate several times?
So there are animals, mostly birds, that are socially monogamous. So they will select the same breeding partner season upon season. And they will mate with that partner and, be together to raise the offspring in the nest. Now, sexually monogamous is different from socially monogamous. Even in bird species that we previously concluded were sexually monogamous, when we were able to develop techniques of genetic sequencing, what we found out is that, nope, those offspring do not belong to that dad. So dad goes off, does some visiting to other females, and then comes back home. And while dad is off doing that, mom might entertain a visitor of her own.
So it's not very Disney-esque.
I know, right? And in mammals, it is non-existent. I mean, in any species where fertilization of females is internal, such as in our own species, a male can't be sure that he is the father of the offspring. So why on earth would he stick around? It doesn't make biological sense.
I guess not. Do animals transmit diseases when having sex?
Yes. STIs are extremely common in the animal kingdom. And take koalas in Australia. These guys are, of course, super cute and cuddly, and they're the poster child for the country, for the nation down under. And almost all of them, like 99% of the indigenous population of koalas, has chlamydia. And it's been transmitted sexually throughout the entire populations, and it's having huge, like, negative effects on these guys. It can actually, in the end, cause you to be infertile. Because this is such a big problem in Australia, a lot of research has gone into finding and developing a vaccine for these guys, which has recently been done.
If we think about our own mating behaviors as humans, let's say a lot of people are now looking for mates online. And when you describe yourself online, you tend to make yourself, whatever, a little bit taller, a little bit thinner, a little bit younger, a little bit smarter. Do animals do that?
Deception is alive and well in the animal kingdom. Everything from males pretending to be females in order to gain advantage from other males before they mate, try to steal the mates of the males that they're attracting. Other males will use deception in terms of sending out warning calls. Hey, ladies, there's a predator. You better stick by me. So many ways in which males and females, for that matter, can be deceptive in terms of being able to win a partner. It's a tough world out there.
We sometimes hear about this male-eating female that has sex with the male and then kills the male, or the male just perishes. What is the evolutionary thinking behind that?
Right, because on the surface, that seems really counterintuitive. How is a male supposed to increase his genetic blueprints in future generations if he's dead? Interestingly, in a lot of these species that are often spiders or praying mantids, males will only have one or two chances at copulation, period, throughout their lives. And so it often actually makes sense for a male to impregnate a female with his sperm and then keep her busy for a while so she's not out there selecting other mates. So his sperm has a greater chance to reach her eggs. Now, just how can he keep her busy? Well, she's eating his body. That takes a little bit of time. And so there is actually, oh, I know, I kid you not, there is a lot of evidence, and especially in praying mantids, the male's body actually keeps having sex with the female after she's ripped his head off. It's kind of like a chicken running around with its head cut off, except that it's a praying mantid that's continuing to have sex with his female partner, even though he doesn't have a head.
Do you ever just think, this is just too gross?
You know, it is absolutely horrifying sometimes, but I think for me, it's fascinating. And I often like to put a human spin on my stories and just say, guys, we are so lucky. It is remarkably uncomplicated to be human. As much as we like to complain about it, at least you're not getting stabbed in the head or getting killed while you're having sex.
And your mate is eating your head.
Right?
Are there animals that just have a low sex drive? I mean, none of this sounds very fun. So are there animals that just kind of choose to say, yeah.
I'd rather not. Generally speaking, because we biologists ascribe that all animals want to maximize their genetic blueprints in future generations, we don't tend to say there's a lot of animals out there who don't want to have sex. But there is an incredibly interesting example from olive baboons in Nigeria, where females will eat this African black plum when it comes into fruit. And they're generalist feeders, so they can eat pretty much anything they want. But when the fruit of the plum is available, the females will go for it. The males don't, but the females do. Now, the plums contain such a high level of progesterone that it essentially shuts the females' reproductive systems down. I think that's maybe a good example where females are sending a pretty clear message to biologists as well as to their male counterparts. You know what? We want a break.
Karen, thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Karen Bonder is the author of Wild Sex, The Science Behind Mating in the Animal Kingdom.